James.
Cody.
Week 3 of drafts.
No way!
Mock draft, baby.
I'm excited to hear Anthony's draft.
I am too, but we have a ton of other news as well.
Welcome to the Steelers by the Lake podcast. My name is James, joined once again by my co-host Cody and special guest Anthony Smith. Cody, how are you this fine evening?
Oh, James, I love when you ask me that question, and I am doing great on this fine Monday evening. Super excited to talk about draft again. And we even had a follower on Facebook do a mock draft that we'll share with as well.
Yeah, way to go, Mark. You're the real MVP this week.
So that was fun. Anthony, how are you doing?
I am fantastic. Start of free agency, draft season, everything is great.
Speaking of greatness, let me tell you about four fine people who I define as great that liked our Facebook page this week. First one, James Kistler. Then the hero and MVP this week, Mark Balthauser. Mo Tamilia and Ed Gallagher.
Thank you guys so much for the likes and girls. There was a girl there as well.
Yeah, and before we get too far into anything else, we promised you guys if any of you submitted your own mock draft to our Facebook page or really anywhere else, Twitter, whatever, we would go over it. So we're going to jump right into that before we even get into Steelers news. Mark submitted his mock draft this week and started off in the first round with offensive tackle Jalen Mayfield out of Michigan.
Yeah, this isn't anything shocking. Not saying you're boring, Mark, just saying that we've talked about Jalen Mayfield a couple times.
It's a great pick, man.
Great pick at 24.
Great pick. You need a mauler on the offensive line, and that is a mauler right there. Second round, he goes straight after that running game with running back Javonte Williams out of North Carolina.
Oh, that is so tempting. Every time I see him there at 55, I like the pick. I really like Javonte.
Third round, pick 87 overall, Sean Wade, cornerback out of Ohio State. Not a fan of the Ohio State.
But Pittsburgh is, realistically.
And we do need a corner, so.
And Sean Wade in 2019 put up some tremendous tape while playing slot. He was the nickel corner there for Ohio State. Moved to the outside this last year, wasn't as premier as he was in the slot. So you know what? Pittsburgh's going to need a slot guy when somebody moves to the outside after starting in nickel this upcoming season.
We will get to that later, James.
Yes, I'm excited about it. Next pick, Monty Rice, the linebacker from Georgia.
Yeah, linebacker from Georgia had the highest missed tackle percentage, which was very impressive.
That is the successful tackle. Lowest amount of missed tackles.
Yes.
In the SEC. And that is over Dylan Moses, who I think is a phenomenal player. So I was shocked to see that statistic.
I guess that's what I meant was the highest and the best, but I said highest and I was wrong.
It's okay. Highest tackle percent.
Yes.
We'll call it that. When he attempts to tackle somebody, he tackles them.
97% of the time.
And a big boy, too. 6'2", 238. That's a hefty linebacker. Looks like he's got some good athleticism, too. So that's a guy that would fit in well. And realistically, we do think that Pittsburgh will address the off-ball linebacker position to give some more depth there. That way you're not in a bad situation if you have injuries strike the position just like last year where we had, like, I don't know, 19 guys get injured at middle linebacker.
That's what it felt like for sure.
Yeah,
it did. Next pick at pick 141, Sage Surratt, wide receiver from Wake Forest. No stranger to talking about Sage Surratt.
6'2 and a half, 215. Nice big-bodied wide receiver. What do you know about him, Anthony?
To me, he's very similar to James Washington, honestly. And I think I really like Sage Surratt, especially in the, I think this is the fourth round by now. Very great wide receiver for that pick.
Yeah. Next pick at 217. We see Drake Jackson come off the board. Interior offensive lineman from Kentucky.
And Drake compares most to a center. That's what he projects to in the NFL. He's 6'2", 290 pounds. Not a huge guy. So similar size to what you've got on J.C. Hasenauer there. So if he were the selection, you would expect him to probably push Hasenauer off the roster and then maybe even compete with B.J. Finney for starting center.
Yeah, be very interesting to see that happen. Next pick at 240, Teron Jackson, an edge rusher out of Coastal Carolina.
You cannot go wrong with a late edge rusher in this draft.
Absolutely. Good size guy, too. At 6'2", 260 pounds.
Yeah, very good size in this guy. And then the interesting part of this draft, this mock draft that Mark did for us, was at 249, he went with another wide receiver, Cade Johnson, out of South Dakota State.
And that's something I really, really, really wanted to do. Cade Johnson, you always see him there late, And I think he's the type of guy that may not even get drafted. So especially if he doesn't get drafted, I think the Steelers need to pick him up. Like, this is a guy that could be a really good punt returner, and I think he could actually push Ray-Ray McCloud off the team.
Well, Ray-Ray did only sign a one-year deal, so it is possible.
That's for sure. And speaking of guys that signed one-year deals to stay on the roster, we've got a number of those this week. So we're going to get through the list here. Now, this is all guys more recent than the last podcast that we talked about. First off, Marcus Allen signed a one-year deal. Most of these guys were just barely above league minimum, so they're really not going to affect the salary cap at all. It doesn't really move the needle. Other guys that signed this week was Ray-Ray McCloud, as you said. So he's on a one-year deal. His was closer to $1 million, so does move the needle a little bit right there. Then we got a new center, Cody.
Yeah, BJ Finney is back again, and he will be playing more likely than anything else center for us, and arguably probably starting. I think BJ Finney is better than J.C. Hostenhauer, and having him back on the team is definitely something nice to see in a year that we're uncertain with that center position.
Yeah, and drastically stronger, right? You're talking a 320-pound man versus a 295-pound man. BJ might have had his best games when he was playing guard, but is a competent center and not somebody who's going to get pushed around easily. Glad to see him back, honestly. The video of him the year that he got the phone call from Mike Tomlin is something I'll never forget. Just breaking down in tears because it's his childhood favorite team, and he couldn't believe after not getting drafted that the team that calls him and wants him in is the Pittsburgh Steelers.
So yeah, I wanted to keep BJ so bad last year. I saw the deal Seattle gave him, and I was like, why couldn't we have given him that? I would have paid him that.
Yeah, someone else that signed a one-year extension, Kevin Colbert. The GM actually signed a one-year extension and says that he will retire when Big Ben retires.
That sounds like both of them are next year, probably.
More than likely.
We talked about that a little bit before jumping on the show tonight. That is going to most likely put Pittsburgh in a situation with a brand new general manager looking for a brand new starting quarterback. Look for Brandon Hunt to most likely be the new candidate. He's the guy they've been training behind Kevin Colbert for a few years. I think he's the director of pro personnel right now.
Yeah.
So he's been with the team in the scouting department for a number of years now. And they've really been grooming him, taking him along on a lot of these scouting trips. So look for him to be a bigger part and quite possibly the next general manager of the Pittsburgh Steelers a year from now.
Listen, you want to talk about next people making an impact on the Steelers. We could have our next starting middle linebacker next to Devin Bush, who also signed a one-year deal, Robert Spillane.
Boom, big shot Bob.
Absolutely. I think if we don't draft an inside linebacker, expect to see Spillane take a much larger load of the snaps compared to, you know, last year when Vince Williams was healthy.
Absolutely. Really showed a lot of promise, picking off the ball, blowing up huge running backs in the hole.
Named Derrick Henry.
Yeah, biggest running back in the league. He blew him up, stopped him cold. So really showed a lot of signs of splash. You always talk about having impact players on your offense and defense. This is an impact player. He can make big plays. So definitely, even if he ends up just being a top backup, it's somebody I feel a lot better about now than I did a year ago when we were building a roster last year.
Yeah, and speaking of building a roster, you got to do that when you have salary. So we restructured a lot of guys. We talked about that last week. We also restructured Derek Watt this past week, which would save us, or is saving us, $880,000 in cap space for this year. So that was really big, especially when the salary cap officially came in at 182.5 mil, which was lower than what we would have liked, but still higher than what it could have been. Kind of right there in that happy medium area than what we expected.
Yeah, and this could be a really important thing. You kind of look at it and say $880,000, who cares? But when a lot of these guys are re-signing and it only moves the needle about $100,000 or $150,000, that literally allowed you to sign probably five or six of your own restricted free agents. So you're getting back Robert Spillane. You're getting back Ray-Ray McCloud. You're getting back Marcus Allen because of that deal. That created enough space to be able to re-sign each of those guys. So still could have a few more. There's been some breaking news right before we started recording, but we're not going to talk about that quite yet because there was a lot going on as far as the Steelers visiting pro days this week, starting off with a certain guy out of Wisconsin, Whitewater, Mr. Quinn Meinerz. The Steelers sent their offensive line coach, Adrian Clem, to the pro day. He was running the drills. And speaking of running, Quinn Meinerz was running fast at the pro day. Holy cow, reported anywhere from 486 to 495, 496, no matter what it is, at 320 pounds. That is fast.
That's flash speed, baby.
Woo!
Watch out, Usain Bolt.
I mean, Pouncey was like a 504. I think DeCastro was slower than that. This guy is drastically faster than those two. If he ends up playing guard, imagine him pulling. I mean, remember when Pouncey was younger and they used to pull Pouncey and DeCastro?
Yeah. It was a it
and
was
they'd get
mayhem.
10, 15 yards downfield in no time flat. This guy has that kind of ability to pull because of how quick he is.
Yeah, the only thing we need to still see is if he can bench, how strong he is.
I think he's going to bench stupid big.
He probably will. He didn't bench at the pro day due to a broken hand he's still recovering from. But we are excited to see what happens. And one of his teammates put up, what, 36?
Yeah, something like 36
reps on the bench.
Yeah.
So you know that team is in the weight room doing work.
Yeah, absolutely. And Pittsburgh's obviously got an eye for these guys from the small schools. They seem to keep on picking up guys like this. I wouldn't be surprised if they don't go Quinn Meinerz, that they don't take his teammate later on in the draft. So would not be surprised one bit. First couple schools that they were reported to have attended was both the Wisconsin and the Marshall Pro Days. And I think we have some notable names from some of those on the Wisconsin Pro Day. Last week in Cody's mock draft, he talked about a defensive lineman by the name of Isaiah Loudermilk. Well, he's at Wisconsin. And Pittsburgh sent some scouts there to go watch him work out.
Listen, they have to go there. They right? All the Watt brothers have come from there. They got to see some talent coming behind the Watt brothers. And you know, defensively, the talent's going to be there. I think with Wisconsin is definitely one of the better teams as far as putting out some defensive stout guys on the D-line and linebacker position. So real excited to see what happens here. And hey, if my shot in the dark with Loudermilk, which is a little more than shot in the dark, but with that shot, if I hit with that and they draft him, I'm going to feel pretty good.
Listen, I've got it documented. So even if we lose the podcast somehow, I've got it written down. I know you drafted him. Also, they have a cornerback by the name of Rashard Wild Goose. It's a pretty good name. Dude ran a real fast 40. I want to say it was a 4.40 or something. So
4.41.
Yeah, 4.41. Real fast. 1.49 on his 10-yard split. It's about the fastest 10-yard split I've ever heard of. So dude's very, very athletic. Which you always want to add athletic guys to your secondary, that's for sure.
Yeah, and again, with somebody possibly moving to outside corner, he would be a pretty solid replacement in the slot. So look for those guys. And again, even if Pittsburgh doesn't draft these guys, look for them to make an impact in the NFL, because maybe this is showing that Pittsburgh knows where the talent is. They don't have maybe all the picks to get them, but they at least know where they're at.
Yeah, and also the Marshall Pro Day, some notable guys from their offensive tackle, Josh Ball, running back Brendan Knox, and edge Darius Hodge, all guys that could be on the Steelers' kind of on their radar as far as possible people there. We did get some breaking news this week as far as the compensatory pick for the Steelers.
We did. Not as good of news as we would have liked, but Pittsburgh will be receiving a fourth round compensatory pick for this year's draft. Sadly, we were expecting a fourth and a sixth. We're only getting a fourth. So add one more pick for us and we're good to go.
Yep. And that's going to help as far as filling out some of these depth positions too. Pittsburgh did send both Mike Tomlin and Kevin Colbert to the Clemson Pro Day. Talk about some serious athletes.
Yeah, Travis Etienne put on a show, to say the least. And Anthony, what do you think of him?
Travis Etienne is my running back one. I have him rated over Najee Harris. I think his speed is just incredible. He has big play ability that the Steelers really haven't seen in their running back room in a while. And I think he's an incredible athlete.
Yeah, really did put up excellent numbers there. They say he played somewhere around 205, maybe as heavy as 208 or 210 last year, but weighed in at 215 at the pro day, so a little heavier. But then he turned around and ran a 4.40. So incredibly fast for a running back, especially at 215. That's not a small running back by any means. So did an excellent job there putting up some nice numbers. 10'8" on a broad jump shows some real nice explosiveness too. So look for him to be a possible target. He actually did tell reporters that he had Zoom meetings with both Matt Canada and Mike Tomlin and mentioned how he feels he would be a perfect fit for Matt Canada's offense. A couple wide receivers for Clemson worked out there too. First one, Cornell Powell. What do you got on him for us, Anthony?
Cornell Powell, he is 6'2", 204. Clocked a 4.53, which that's pretty decent. That was actually faster than I expected him to run. Because to me, I think Amari Rodgers is the better of the two Clemson receivers.
Yeah, so some good numbers for a decent size guy. Amari Rodgers built more like a running back, right? 5'9", 212. That's not a normal size that you see out of a wide receiver. Kind of reminds me a little bit of James Washington. What was he, like 5'10 and a half, 215? Starting to see some guys like that that Pittsburgh doesn't mind getting their hands on. A 4.5, 140 on Amari is pretty good. 10'1" broad's really nice. So he could be one of those guys with some good explosive numbers. Again, there is the connection of his father being T. Martin, former quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers. So obviously he was already on the radar. It could be a little more so with a nice pro day there for sure. Texas pro day, one of the top offensive tackles, put up some real nice numbers.
Yeah, Samuel Cosmi, 36 reps on the bench. We talked about another player earlier who did the same thing. 36 reps of 225 is not an easy feat.
No, man, doing it once is tough.
You do it at least three times, right?
My best ever was 16.
Ah, there you go.
But really, Cosmi, one of the guys, he's not a huge offensive tackle. A lot of people have said maybe he needs to put some more weight on to really do well at the pro level. I'm going to tell you that if he can bench 225 36 times, he has spent plenty of time in the weight room and is doing exactly what he needs to do to gain a few extra pounds, to have a little more sand in his pants, as they like to say sometimes.
Listen, you just gave me a great idea talking about your benching.
Yeah.
If anyone listening to this podcast wants to see James, myself, and Anthony do our own pro day,
oh, Lord.
You comment and let me know. We'll run the 40. We'll do the shuttle cone. And we'll try to bench 225. I'm probably not putting that up once, but we'll try.
I don't know if I can run 40 yards these days. This knee might not hold up to it, man. But I got you on that 225. I'll put a few up.
That's what we like to hear. So if you want to see that, let us know. And then another guy from Texas, Joseph Osai, he put up a 4.63 40, which was phenomenal. And he also put up a 41.5-inch vert jump, which isn't bad.
That's incredible for an outside linebacker prospect. 256 pounds, running a 4.63 is really good at that. And then getting 256 pounds, 41.5 inches off the ground? That's incredible, man. At a 10'11" broad jump, very, very explosive guy. This is the kind of guy that if he can time it right at the snap, he is going to just scoot right on past offensive tackles, because that is as explosive as it gets, man.
And then the last notable guy, safety out of Texas, Caden Stearns, had a 42-inch vertical jump, which,
woo,
crazy. He's going to pick off some high point balls.
Yeah,
I mean,
he's going to break up some of those Hail Marys. Don't throw the Hail Mary on his half of the ball.
Unless it's to DeAndre Hopkins, then it's probably caught.
Yeah.
More than likely.
Yeah, there's nothing you can do about that.
No, not at all. But those were exciting pro days. Super exciting to see who Pittsburgh could possibly pick up from these pro days. Speaking of Pittsburgh picking up somebody, I want them to pick up another tight end that was just recently cut by his team. James?
Let's go. Jesse James is what we're talking about here. Man, I need to dust that jersey back off. It's in the closet, and I need it back on. And the only thing is, when he gets back to Pittsburgh, which I'd love to see happen, are they going to kick Zach Gentry out of 81?
More than likely.
Am I going to have to buy a new Jesse James jersey when he gets like 82 or something?
I still don't think Jesse James is about to wear 83. So
No, nobody is. They won't let anyone.
No, I think he's taking 81 back.
Yeah.
Gentry can have 82.
Yeah, just
something.
Give him like a
Antoine
signed,
Randall number.
Give him a signed baseball hat or something. He'll probably take it. He probably won't even have to buy him dinner.
Nah, not at all.
Gentry might not even make the team. You never know. So, yeah, it would be really exciting to see Jesse James back. He would be an immediate upgrade as far as a blocking tight end and a very reliable catching receiver. He's not a speed demon. He never was, never will be.
Listen, he caught the ball even when the ref said he didn't.
That's right.
That's what I'm talking about.
And I will never forget him catching jump balls where three or four people are draped on his arms, and there he is with the ball over his head, pulling it down. They're trying to rip his arms away, but he did 27 reps on the bench his rookie year, and that was 6 years ago. He's stronger than that now, man. So give me Jesse back. I'll take him.
The only thing better than getting Jesse James back at tight end would be us to get Christian Scotland Williamson back. I would be excited for that.
Yeah,
but probably not gonna happen.
Not likely.
In other news, Ola Adeniyi is not being tendered and will be an unrestricted free agent in this offseason, so that means that he can go to any team that he wants. Any team can offer him money, and we'll be very interested to see if he decides to stay in Pittsburgh. My assumption is Pittsburgh doesn't have a whole lot of money to offer him. And if another team is willing to offer him more, he may be out of town next year.
And realistically, they would have had to have tendered him with the undrafted, which would have given him like $2.1 million. They weren't going to give him that. So he's more than welcome to try and see if someone else will give him more money than that. I think Pittsburgh would be open to bringing him back for league minimum. Or even a hair above, give him like $850,000, something like that. But he's going to try and see if he can get more money than that, and I don't blame him one bit. In late-breaking news within the last hour here, it just so happens that Mr. Cameron Sutton has agreed to terms with the Pittsburgh Steelers on a two-year deal for $9 million. We have locked up our starting nickel corner for this upcoming 2021 season and possibly the starting outside corner for the 2022 season.
Best
I'm stoked
news.
About this.
Best news of the day, especially when we got him for cheaper than I expected. I mean, I was thinking at least $5 million minimum. And I was thinking more closer to $7 million per season. We got him for like $4.5 million a year, plus a 2-year deal, not even a 1-year deal. I was thinking he was going to sign more of like a prove it deal.
Yeah, I think that just speaks volumes to the chemistry that our secondary is developing on defense, to the fact that Cam Sutton easily took a pay cut to stay in Pittsburgh. I would say that he would probably have gotten offered more money somewhere else, but we will absolutely take that. For sure. And that could possibly change mock drafts in the future. Knowing that we have a locked up corner, maybe in my mock draft specifically, I don't draft Asante Samuel Jr. in the first round. So really exciting to to see what happens later on with the drafts.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think personally, I would say it's right about where I was expecting him to be money wise, at least hoping. You know, you never knew if somebody was going to say, hey, he looks like he's got a lot of potential and throw $7 or $8 million a year at him. But he did not have gaudy numbers with Pittsburgh. But if you were a Steeler fan and you watched him play, you knew that he didn't play a ton. But this last year, he had 8 pass breakups and 3 forced fumbles, and that was in consecutive games. 1 forced fumble in 3 consecutive games. The guy can really make turnovers happen, which you've got to have, right? Mike Hilton had a knack for getting after the quarterback. He had a knack for stopping the run behind the line of scrimmage. Cam Sutton's got a knack for turning the ball over and getting his hands on it. So I'll take that, man. He's really good as far as coverage skills and a lot taller. He's 5'11". So when you're comparing him to the 5'9" Mike Hilton, that's a lot of extra length. So very happy to have him back. And you never know, with a 2-year deal, that pushes it to the 2023 offseason, when Pittsburgh has, what, like, I don't know, $180 million available?
Like $145. We'll see.
No, that's 2022.
Oh, excuse me.
Yeah, the following year, there's hardly anybody under contract. So
that is true.
Yeah, they'll have plenty of money to sign him to a longer deal after that if he does earn it and continue to play well.
So this episode was definitely riddled with news for you guys, but we are already going to now head into the mock drafts by Anthony. So, Anthony, go ahead with your first mock draft.
So, at pick 24, I went with Tevin Jenkins, the offensive tackle out of Oklahoma State. And he is one of the, I would say, 8 or 10 offensive tackles that I would be happy with in the first round, just knowing how bad we need one right now. He's an incredible a tackle, especially to be there at 24. A lot of teams, I think, are going to undervalue him, and I think we'll be able to snag him at 24 if he is there, and that's who the Steelers are looking at.
Yeah, so I like that. You know me. If you're going offensive line in the first round, you already sold me on your mock draft. So assuming you don't go running back the rest of the picks. But, yeah, I like offensive tackles. I like offensive tackles, and he's a good one. So snagging one is really important for Pittsburgh this year.
So in the second round, pick 55, I got an absolute steal. Move over BJ Finney because I got Creed Humphrey. Wow. He would absolutely be immediately the starting center. Creed Humphrey out of Oklahoma. I really, really like Creed Humphrey. Shocked he was there at 55.
Yeah, especially being the number one projected center. That is huge. And if Pittsburgh somehow manages to get the number one center in the draft in the second round,
incredible.
Sign me up. I'm down.
Big boy, too, isn't he?
He's huge, yeah.
Yeah, not somebody that's going to get bullied around. So we're on board.
And then in the third round, what is it, pick 87 here, I went with a running back. Unpopular opinion right now, but I just could not pass up Michael Carter. He is one of the top four running backs on the whole draft here, and to get him in the third round I thought was just incredible. I mean, there wasn't a whole lot else there that I wanted to take with that pick. I just felt he's good enough for the pick.
Absolutely. I want to say Michael Carter, somebody I've talked about a few times. So any of you that have been listening for a few weeks know my opinions on Michael Carter, which is that he is electric. He had a hell of a game in the Senior Bowl, was by far the best running back in that game. He showed great contact balance and is very explosive. I'm excited to hear some numbers from him at his pro day, man. I bet you he runs like in the low 4.4s.
Listen, you called him electric. I'm going to give him his nickname if he comes to Pittsburgh. We're going to call him Static Shock, baby. if you haven't seen it, the cartoon, the animated character, Static Shock, I'm down for Carter as well.
All right, so we hop into pick 128 here, and a familiar face on this podcast that I know, I believe both of you actually drafted, Talanoa Hufanga, safety out of USC, played with Troy Polamalu's cousin. Really electric tape, just like Michael Carter, only on the defensive side of the ball. This guy is an absolute playmaker, like we've talked about. Couldn't pass him up.
Well, if drafting Talanoa Hufanga gets us to be able to drop Mr. Terrell Edmonds, sign me up for that as well.
Oh, stop.
You guys know how I feel about Terrell. Biggest weakness on our defense. I'm down. Hufanga is my man for sure at safety. I like the pick.
Hey, real quick, did you realize that he had 4 interceptions and 2 fumble recoveries, and they only played 6 games last year?
Right, yeah.
Holy cow, man. That's some production.
At pick 140, I went with a guy the Steelers actually have been looking at, I have heard, is wide receiver out of Auburn, Anthony Schwartz. Not Seth Williams, who I know a lot of people like as well, but Anthony Schwartz, I feel like, was a really good wide receiver pick right here.
Now, that's some speed on this guy. That's all I hear is speed, speed, speed when they talk about Anthony Schwartz. So always a good idea, especially when you figure Ray only signed a 1-year deal. Bring me a real fast guy. Maybe he can return some kicks.
And then we get to pick 214, and with these last 3 picks, I really feel like you're kind of throwing a dart at the board. You know, you look at the last few years of guys we've taken in these rounds. Typically, they don't turn out to become starters. You're not expecting that, but you can definitely get some great depth here, and I did just that with Patrick Johnson, edge out of Tulane.
Yeah, looks like a real nice fit for Pittsburgh. Big guy, 6'3", 255, projects best in a 3-4 base defense or hybrid front, which is exactly what Pittsburgh has. Modest length, they say about him, but has to develop some of his pass rushing skill set, but has plenty of functional strength, which is a good baseline, right? You don't want him to be pushed around. Somebody like that could probably show up pretty well against some backup offensive tackles in the preseason.
Yeah, definitely. So I went with, at pick 244, a cornerback out of Florida, Marco Wilson. And he's a guy that I think a lot of people give a bad rap for currently, just due to his throwing the shoe situation in the LSU game. But I feel he's actually a really good corner for the 6th round here.
I'll tell you what, Marco Wilson, great talent. not a great IQ when it comes to just self-awareness. I'm going to have to say this is the one pick so far I don't agree with. I don't want another drama queen. We had to deal with AB. This guy, the shoe incident cost Florida the game when he threw the shoe of the LSU player. I'm going to say I'd prefer anybody else other than someone who's going to stoop that low. Don't need a Vontaze Burfict on our hands or anything like that. I'm going to compare him. I realize he threw a shoe compared to knocking somebody out, but you never know.
Dude, he's got a decent arm, though.
That's true. We could use him as a backup QB.
That is definitely fair. I mean, may have some character issues there, but definitely for the talent, I felt that, you know, you get him in there, he could possibly get him reformed and everything. Pick 253, I went with a guy James went with in his draft, tight end Ohio State, Luke Farrell, the great blocker for Trey Sermon's excellent running late in this season there. I feel we really need a blocking tight end.
Absolutely. Got to add to that tight end room. I don't really care where they do it. I prefer it kind of earlier for once. It's frustrating watching Pittsburgh not draft tight ends early year after year after year and then expect them to play well, you know. But I like this guy as far as a guy that could be gotten later on in a draft. I think he would be a steal in the seventh round personally. And I think he'd probably be able to make the team too, probably even push Zach Gentry off of the roster, which would be great because we need that 81 free for Jesse James.
Well, you're not wrong. And with that being said, we're going to go ahead and move into the live draft portion of the show. So, Anthony, you are up. We're going to go ahead and start this draft right here. And looking at this already, Zach Wilson, Trevor Lawrence, Sewell.
Penny Sewell.
Justin Fields, Patrick Surtain, Caleb Farley off the board, Najee Harris to the Cardinals again, Mac Jones to the Washington football team.
Oh, a heartbreaker.
Travis Etienne went to the Jets, one pick before Pittsburgh.
Right in front of him.
And as usual, five quarterbacks going ahead of us, which I don't think that's actually going to happen, but that's just incredible to me. So as soon as we came up to this pick, I instantly knew who I was taking, and it is obviously Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, linebacker out of Notre Dame. Incredible athlete. I think he's one of the best athletes in the draft, and he does have a little bit of a size issue, but I have heard comps to Jeremy Chinn of the Carolina Panthers, and he almost won defensive rookie of the year last year. I think in our system, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah could either become a Terrell Edmonds replacement, a Vince Williams replacement. He's just going to be somewhere on our defense making plays.
And that's one heck of a playmaker there. When you're talking about that kind of athleticism next to somebody who ran a 4.43 40 in Devin Bush, wow, that is some speed. That'll give you the opportunity to really blow up screen plays when people try to run them against you, and would easily be able to eliminate a lot of matchup nightmares with tight ends. Put him against a tight end, he'll cover about any of them out there, man. So he'd be a dream scenario for Pittsburgh. I know it's not necessarily addressing the positions a lot of people are looking for, but you have to go best talent available. And when somebody like that drops to you, you take them.
Absolutely. And I just wanted to address too, I do have him as my number one inside linebacker. I have him over even Micah Parsons.
Dang. So moving forward, we see Creed Humphrey go at 50 to the Dolphins, Kyle Trask at 52 to the Chicago Bears. So at 55 here, you got some names on the board. You got Landon Dickerson, Dylan Moses, Asante Samuel Jr. What you doing?
There are some huge names here that I did not expect to be here. Wow, this is... I'm looking at Asante Samuel. I'm looking at Joseph Osai even, Landon Dickerson or Javonte Williams. And I just think that the Steelers don't need to invest a super early pick in a running back. I really want Javonte, though. But at the same time, I think Landon Dickerson, he is going to be a really good player if he's healthy. And I think that's the type of guy that you want in your locker room. Like I said last week, the team at Alabama loves him. He's an amazing player. And if he's on the field, he's going to be great.
Yeah, we've seen Landon Dickerson go in multiple of our mock drafts. Phenomenal build at 6'6", 326 pounds. He's going to be the starting center or guard easily. More than likely see him at center with Dotson being moved to left guard, DeCastro at right guard. I love that pick.
Okay, so at the next pick here, 87, I see a lot of guys on the board that I'm still interested in here. Michael Carter is there, but I think I'm going to switch it up here. There's Hamil Claire Rashid. He is there. Also, Chaz Surratt, if I hadn't already had gone Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah. And Quincy Roche, I was actually considering the edge out of Miami. But I think I'm going to go with Jackson Carman, offensive tackle out of Clemson. I think we do need some offensive tackle depth. And we already did get Dickerson, who will shore up the interior. And now we'll have some tackle depth as well, if not already becoming a starter right in there.
And at 6'5", 344, that's a mountain of a man. You want somebody who can move some people in the running game? Jackson Carman can move some people in the running game. That's what Pittsburgh has to focus on in these offensive linemen that they draft this year. I do expect multiple of them. I like that we're addressing multiple of them so early in this draft. So it's a real nice pick.
So in the fourth round here, Kenny Yeboah went off the board a number of picks before us, as did Trey Sermon and Kylan Hill, a couple of running backs that I might have been looking at. So here we get to pick 128 and the top player on the board, and a guy I went earlier, Talanoa Hufanga, is still there. And that's a guy I've seen. I think everybody on this podcast agrees. We all like him. We all want him. I'm picking him. But I will say one thing. If I hadn't already drafted an O-lineman, Quinn Miners, I believe, will go in the third or fourth round here. At Draft Network, please add him in.
Yeah, can't say anything is wrong with Hufanga there. We all like him. We all agree that he would be a great addition. Like the pick.
And again, both starting safeties going into the final year of their rookie deals. Assuming both get fifth-year options, they would both be under contract for the 2022 season. But realistically, we need some depth. The Steelers do stand to possibly lose multiple safeties off the roster in free agency this year. Realistically, the only one on the roster at a backup safety is Antoine Brooks Jr., the sixth-round rookie from last year. So it would be an excellent move to add some depth, and that seems like some high-potential depth to me.
So with pick 140, I'm going to go with the best running back on the board, my highest-rated running back at this point, Chuba Hubbard out of Oklahoma State. He's a guy that's 6 foot 220, I believe, and he was actually one of my higher ranked running backs last season, last summer actually. Definitely a good running back, and it says on here he's actually good as a number two as part of a committee, and I think the Steelers running back room will be a committee next year with Benny Snell, McFarland, and if you want to throw Jalen Samuels in there for a rerun.
We don't.
We gladly have Chuba Hubbard over Jalen Samuels. I'll tell you that right now. Interjecting some more youth into the room. Pittsburgh loves the draft running backs right around this time of the draft, so would not be surprised at all if they went this direction.
No, not at all. And at this point, we're back to round six, 214th overall pick. We've already addressed offensive tackle, interior offensive line, running back, linebacker, as well as safety with Hufanga. So, Anthony, who are you looking at now?
So, with pick 214, I wanted to go wide receiver. I knew I was going wide receiver with this pick. There's a number of decent wide receivers on here. Cade Johnson, who the gentleman who did the mock draft going in here, the fan did. He had
Mark!
He had him going late. So, I was looking at him. I was also looking at Amir Smith-Marset until we read that he had a DUI or a, what was it?
Yeah, DUI in November 2020.
I actually had not heard about that, so glad I didn't go him. Don't want to go with all the troublemakers here. But I was looking at Cornell Powell, who was at the Clemson Pro Day, which the Steelers attended. I was also looking at Simi Fehoko, wide receiver out of Stanford. He had Davis Mills throwing him the ball for last season. I think he looks pretty good in terms of downfield threat. He is from an Islander descent. I don't know if he's Samoan. He's 6'4", 227, huge guy. He looks to be pretty fast, too, so I like him. I'm going with him.
We checked out some highlights on Mr. Fehoko. Great contested catchability and ability to stack the DB. So he puts himself in position that the DB is behind him and the ball thrown in front of him. So some nice skills from a guy. And you know how much Big Ben loves big wide receivers. That's a big boy right there.
Absolutely. So we've made our way all the way to pick 244, seventh round, first pick in this round. We have two. What do you see?
Mustafa.
Well, Mustafa's not on the board. He went at pick 243 right ahead of us.
Son of a gun.
But let's see what Anthony sees here.
At pick 244, I got to get a corner here. Marco Wilson is available, but I'm actually going to go with a different corner this time. I am going to go with DJ Daniel, corner out of Georgia. And it says he projects to a sub-package corner with core special teams upside, which I think we definitely do need some more guys on special teams, especially if you don't want Cam Sutton playing special teams. You want him starting, potentially. Also, DJ Daniel is one of the big corners out of Georgia this year. Did not get as much attention as Tyson Campbell or Eric Stokes, but I feel he is definitely a very good corner.
So that's who he's going with at pick 244, DJ Daniel. As the picks move on, we've made it to 253. Marco Wilson did come off the board to the Jaguars at 248. And so with the last pick of the draft for you at 253, what do you think?
One notable thing about that teammate of his at Georgia, Mr. Stokes, went to the House of Athletes Combine, which lesser-known combine, but it did happen. Ran a 4.24 40. That's incredible for a corner, man. Also, Jalen Twyman, the defensive tackle out of Pitt, was there and weighed in over 300 pounds. So he was able to put some weight on this year, which may change his outlook as far as where he gets drafted.
With our last pick, pick 253, I went with Lorenzo Neal, interior defensive line from Purdue. He is 6'3", 315, the son of Lorenzo Neal, the fullback for the Chargers, who blocked for LaDainian Tomlinson. And I just feel that we need some depth at interior defensive line, especially, you know, you like Mondo, you like Carlos Davis or Isaiah Bugs, but there's always room to add depth there and possibly push one of those guys off the team. I feel like we keep going these late round interior D linemen. And again, shot in the dark here. If he's able to make the team, then that's awesome.
Yeah, I like the pick here with Lorenzo Neal on the interior defensive line. I feel like we haven't had a super stout nose tackle since, you know, Casey Hampton. So maybe the shot in the dark is hits for good. And Lorenzo Neal comes in and plays as beastly as his dad did on the offensive side of the ball.
I liked Steve McClendon, man. Steve McClendon after him had some good push to him as well. But again, Pittsburgh loves to draft defensive linemen in the sixth and seventh round. So this fits their normal tendencies to a T. And again, I love second-generation players. Whether it be football, basketball, baseball, whatever the sport, I love second-generation guys. So I think Lorenzo Neal would be an exact fit for what Pittsburgh loves to do.
Definitely. So just to recap, in the first round, I got Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoa out of Notre Dame. Second round, I got Landon Dickerson, offensive lineman out of Alabama. Third round, Jackson Carman, offensive tackle out of Clemson. Fourth round, Talanoa Hufanga, a man we love on this podcast, safety out of USC. In the next pick, we got Chuba Hubbard, running back out of Oklahoma State. He'd get to play with James Washington and Mason Rudolph. I don't know if they were there at the same time. But then we got Simi Fehoko, wide receiver out of Stanford. And then we got DJ Daniel, corner out of Georgia. And then Lorenzo Neal Jr., defensive line out of Purdue.
Yeah, so another good draft, mock draft. Excited to see what happens with the real draft now. So be excited for that. Next week, we're going to go over a lot of free agent pickups. And we even have two new updates right now that broke literally 22 minutes ago and 17 minutes ago. James?
Yeah, so 22 minutes ago, Adam Schefter reporting that wide receiver Corey Davis has signed a three-year deal for $37.5 million with the New York Jets, which basically means Juju's probably not going to the Jets, which is good. Also, Tyler Matakevich, former Steelers middle linebacker, got a one-year contract extension with the Buffalo Bills.
Good for him.
Yeah, good for him. Led the NFL in special teams tackles 3 years in a row while he was with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Also being reported that the Tennessee Titans are making a very large push at Bud Dupree right now. So might be that Bud Dupree could be a Tennessee Titan sooner rather than later. For Pittsburgh's sake, we'd all like to see Bud come back. Just tough with the dollar amount of what Bud will probably get paid.
And yeah, just a few other updates before we end the show. Patriots have been making some offseason moves. What do you have for me, Anthony?
So they did sign Jonnu Smith, which I felt was a very good contract, a great tight end. They also signed Matthew Judon, familiar face of the Ravens. Glad to see him out of the division, which I felt was a good deal. But some unusual things that the Patriots have been doing here, throwing money at guys here. Jalen Mills, they gave 4 years, $24 million, $6 million a year. I feel that's a little bit too much for that safety slash corner. Devon Godshaw, they signed $8 million a season for a defensive tackle that I really don't think is of that value. Also, two wide receivers, Kendrick Bourne and Nelson Agholor, who really have not done much in their careers, gave $45 million total to.
Yeah, you hate to see, you know, a team that we once rivaled pretty well waste some money, but we'll have to wait and see. Maybe Bill Belichick is doing something with his crazy football mind. I'm not sure. But speaking of the Matthew Judon thing, James, that's the Ravens linebacker. We like seeing them lose some talent.
Yeah, so division rival Baltimore Ravens really taking a hit in free agency already. Matt Judon, starting outside linebacker on the one side, now going to the Patriots. Yannick Ngakoue, starting outside linebacker on the other side, went to the Raiders. So they just lost both their starting outside linebackers before free agency really even hits. Pretty incredible. So glad to have them out of the division. That probably will also put the Ravens in a situation where they'll have to prioritize outside linebacker probably pretty early in the draft, which is great because that's not something Pittsburgh is expected to prioritize in this upcoming draft. So won't have to worry about them snatching an outside linebacker right before Pittsburgh this year because they probably won't take one until later anyway.
And we actually have some breaking news right now that, to report. Bud Dupree has officially signed a $16.5 million a year contract with the Tennessee Titans. So that is a huge loss for Pittsburgh, a huge gain for Tennessee, but a good chance of getting a third-round compensatory pick next year for that one.
And then shortly afterwards, news broke about Matt Filer, now former Steelers offensive lineman, with a 3-year, $21 million deal with the Los Angeles Chargers. So expect both of these to factor into the compensatory formula for Pittsburgh in the 2022 draft. Both starters for Pittsburgh.
Yeah, and both starters and both gone.
Yeah.
So this does put, I don't want to say it puts pressure on Alex Highsmith to perform, but it does allow him to step up into that role more than likely unchallenged, unless they draft somebody, which they probably will now, especially at that edge position. He's the only fight he's going to have is more than likely with, the competition he's going to have is more than likely with a rookie. Unless we go out and sign someone cheap in free agency who's an edge rusher. But we'll just have to wait and see what happens.
So congratulations, Alex Highsmith. It looks like you're going to be the starting outside linebacker for a few years here.
More than likely. So with that being said, keep an eye on Facebook and maybe even our Twitter. James is going to be retweeting and posting all the updates that we get throughout the week. And then we'll come back next Monday and report those for you guys as well. So again, thank you guys so much for listening. Be sure to like and follow on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at Steelers by the Lake. And until next time, this is Cody, James, and Anthony signing off.
Peace.
And peace.